Gone are the taboo days of pot. As cannabis becomes increasingly celebrated, understood, and legal, it's still a long way from eradicating the stigmas created from years of misinformation. We're investigating facts, cutting through fiction, exploring medical solutions, and sharing the stories of the people making it all possible on the Cultured Cannabis Podcast. How you guys doing? I'm Tony Arce. Welcome to the Cultured Cannabis Podcast. Today I'm joined by Sergio Lopez, owner and co-founder at Juana Mama Delights. Sergio, I appreciate you being here, brother.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you for having me.
No, we met actually at a cannabis event. We met at the Flower Ball about a month ago, right?
Yep.
How was that experience for you? Because we really didn't get a chance to talk about that, but I would love to kind of, you know, just hear how that all went and what your experience has been so far just here in Chicago with the cannabis, in the cannabis industry.
Sure, yeah, the Flower Ball. That was actually a pretty cool space for us. It was first event, first public event with people, you know, out of the pandemic, post-pandemic, meeting people and really talking to them and having that face-to-face conversation with them was really eye-opening. And for me, I don't have a lot of interactions with a ton of people that are in the cannabis realm. And so once I get to talk, like, I can talk. That was super dope. Super dope.
And so this is something that the co-founder aspect of it is with your wife, right?
Correct.
So tell me about Juana Mama Delights and just exactly what it is and, you know, what the vision is for the company.
So Juana Mama Delights started originally as a beverage idea. So I originally developed the concept of Juana Mama Delights as a seltzer, a cannabis seltzer that was microdosed at 5 milligrams and 10 milligrams. That came out of a necessity of having a discreet consumption at family parties, pretty much.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, so I basically needed a way to consume without either smelling like weed or you know, smoking a joint in front of my in-laws. And so part of that too was having that social interaction while I was consuming. You know, when you're drinking, when you're having beers with friends and family, you know, it's easy to have like 1, 2, 3, or 4. But if you're having like a 50 milligram drink, you know, you can only have the one, and then you're kind of just sitting there with your hands folded. And so for me, it made sense to have products that were microdosed so that I can, just like with a 5% alcohol beer, I have my 5 milligram cannabis drink. And so when it comes to the brand, Juana Mama actually came from my grandma's name is, or nickname was Mama Juana. But for a lot of people that are familiar with, I think it's a Dominican drink. It's like a liquor or Dominican drink called Mama Juana already. So I basically had to switch the names around to Juana Mama. And I also didn't want to have Canna in the name because I wanted it to be far-reaching. Like, it wasn't just about the product. It was kind of like an overall idea. And so
it was like a lifestyle.
Essentially like a lifestyle. And I didn't want to just have it. I saw Juana Mama Delights as like going beyond just a product.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it kind of bodes well for us too, because a lot of people don't know, but the plant itself, the buds, come from a female plant. So part of it being Juana Mama, it's a lot of the times at these grows, or when you're getting them, it's mother plants that are being used to produce clones that'll get you the buds.
Oh, yeah.
So the delights are the buds, if you think about it that way.
Interesting.
So wraps up pretty well.
Yeah. Now, originally, you're from L.A.
Yeah, I was born and raised in L.A. I grew up in between Koreatown and Venice Beach. The reason why I say that is because while I grew up in Koreatown, my mom cleaned a building on the boardwalk. So I was there pretty much every day off from school, every Saturday, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday. I can remember it pretty clearly. And so Venice Beach is holds a pretty dear place in my heart, and so that's why I say kind of between the two.
And originally, or I say by trade, you're an art director.
Correct.
Tell me a little bit about that and just how that's helped you develop this brand, because you've done a great job just so far.
Thank you. Like you said, by trade, I studied graphic design in school. Art director is pretty much just because of my experience, the years that I've had doing this. I've got to that level. But the idea of Quantum Moment Delights or designing for Quantum Moment Delights has been kind of a passion for me, which is anything you do for passion a lot of times just comes out a lot better than what you would do just for a day-to-day. I'm just lucky enough to be able to leverage, you know, God-given, if you want to call it, talents. Yeah, it's definitely helped in being able to pump out as many posts or, you know, even designing the merchandise. It kind of helps build the story a lot better.
Yeah. How I guess has that translated over for you in that way, you know, that you see the benefits of having this background before getting started in something so unique, but also what are the challenges, right, that you face because it is so different?
So I think design wise, when you're looking at cannabis back in the day, everything had the sugar leaf on it, right? Mm. It said canna in it, and it was the weed sugar leaf on it, which is interesting because the leaf itself doesn't do anything to you. Other than feed the actual buds the nutrients that you're feeding it, right?
It's funny, that was right there on the.
Yeah. So, there it is. But as things kind of evolve and industries evolve, I wanted to kind of see ahead and think, okay, what does this look like as an event? What does this look like as a brand, as a merchandise brand, as an events brand? You know, we can have offshoots for like the products that we create, but the brand itself needed to sound almost not corporate, but as cleaned up as possible, I think is the best way I can put it.
Yeah.
And so when you're thinking about, you know, your story as a brand or as a product, you want to think holistically. And so for me, having the ability to visually represent that, you know, it helps. It's you know, there are plenty of brands that have really good products, but because the packaging doesn't look right or doesn't have a lot of the information that the consumers are looking for, you know, they can fall short, which kind of sucks because when you think about it, it's like this could be really, really good flower. This can be a really good gummy, but because the packaging doesn't look as aesthetically pleasing as something that's, you know, either more expensive or has less nutrient or compound, you know, compounds in it, it kind of gets lost.
Yeah.
In the ether, kind of.
Well, when you don't have really anything to go off of, right, as a consumer, and you're like trying to make a choice, how do you make that choice, right?
Yeah.
And especially in this market where there isn't a lot known in terms of just the plant and its effects and what to look for.
Oh, 100%. I think a lot of the times, you know, going back to, you know, what we were talking about with what we want to do and how I see Quantum Moment Delights, you know, helping the consumer or even just brands is bridging the gap between what the consumer is looking for as an experience and what to expect when purchasing a product.
Yeah.
You know, and so I feel like the more you have, the more information you have, the more knowledge you have about what's in the plant or what to look for, the better you can tailor your experience. I think at the end of the day, that's one of the main missions for Quantum Moment Delights is to help every consumer find their perfect experience. You can only do that if you know what you're looking for.
Right.
Before you even get to the dispensary, before you meet the bud tender, it's like having that little bit of knowledge in your back pocket to say, okay, at least I know this is the little pool I want to swim in. Yeah. Like what can I get in that area?
Yeah, no. And in addition to being from LA, you're also Guatemalan, right? Both parents.
Yeah. Yep.
And part of that is when you talk about cannabis, you have to include the social equity piece in things, right?
Yep.
And just how has that been for you, or what has been your experience just from what you've seen, from what you've experienced on your own? But you know, we had a little conversation beforehand, and it's just you're looking for those things.
Yep.
And I would just love for you to share your experience in regards to that, especially here in Chicago, in Illinois, right?
Yep.
Where things are a little bit different than they were in, out west.
Yeah, so a lot of there aren't a whole lot of social equity products in dispensaries yet. You know, a lot of these licensees haven't come online fully to the point where they have products in stores. A lot of dispensaries aren't open yet. So as these kind of things get updated and as products come into the market, you know, one of the things that I'm looking for, if I'm looking to support the social equity or if we want the social equity brands and products to be successful, we want to look for them.
Right.
there's one package that I know for sure said on it, this is a social equity brand. It's called Dibs. And gummy itself had like CBG in it, CBN, a lot more than what you would normally see in most gummies. Normally, it's usually like THC that they focus on. They don't really talk about the terpenes. They don't talk about other cannabinoids. And so that was actually pretty cool to see. Beyond that, I feel like, I don't know if it's a labeling system, if it's a product awareness campaign, you know, where does that responsibility lie? Is it the dispensary? Is it the product, the brand, the consumer? You know, when we were talking, you know, I mentioned, you know, walking into dispensary and asking for social equity products and getting a slew of answers, right? Like, you know, I don't know if this is a social equity brand or, you know, they need to do their own, you need to do your own research kind of answer. You know, it's a bummer because when you're looking for something specifically, you want to be able to find it. And especially when it's something that gives you relief or something, while at the same time you want to support a new industry in a market that's still in its infancy. I mean, it's really, cannabis is in its infancy overall, right? But it's still relatively new in Illinois. And so for these brands to be successful, I feel like consumers should be able to find them. And that doesn't seem like the case right
now. Yeah. And what do you see as far as the community here? What has your experience been just in the cannabis community in general? And is there one, right?
Yeah, I mean, so for me, everybody that I've met has been awesome. Like, I mentioned, you know, being on a fertility break, people have tolerance breaks, right? I've never felt like I was being judged for however little or however much cannabis I consumed, which is pretty cool and says something about the culture here when it comes to cannabis and what that looks like, at least within the cannabis community, right?
Do you think that's different than, for example?
I think there can be places where maybe it's not as, and I don't know if it's a Chicago thing or if it's, you know, just like the friendly Midwest thing, but, you know, not feeling like you're being judged because you're taking a break from cannabis, like for a week or something, or to like pass a drug test or something. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, I feel like generally speaking, I've never felt ostracized at all, you know, super welcomed. Like, everybody that I've met when I go to an event, you know, meet people, they've always been welcoming. So I think in that respect, Chicago's been pretty, or Illinois in general has been pretty, pretty welcoming.
And what have you noticed as far as the community that's being formed? You know, 'cause I think especially in more established industries, right? You see that it's already there. And, mm-hmm. and here it's just beginning. And it's only, legally 3 years old. But yep. Even then, the pandemic really set us back in terms of getting together,
yep.
Right? What have you seen there where it's a cause for inspiration or, you know, just to feel good about the direction that it's heading?
Innovation. I've always seen Chicago, like if they say, like LA, they call it the city of dreams, right? I see Chicago as like a city of action. Like, there's a lot of people that do innovative things, whether it's on the legacy side of things or on the dispensary side of things. There's just so much innovation happening throughout cannabis in Illinois specifically that is super exciting. It should be super exciting for anybody that's even remotely interested in even just the daily consumption of cannabis. Like, the slew of products that are coming out or that I've seen, Illinois is going to be all right.
That's awesome. Yeah. Now, when you just, you know, look back at your entrepreneurial journey here, mm-hmm. what is the biggest takeaway? What have you learned about yourself through this process that you can share a little bit about?
I think just believing in what your goal is and what your product is, what your brand is. Like, for me, you know, we had to take a step away when we couldn't get a license to produce the seltzers, right? And so being able to kind of believe and say, all right, we can do this. Maybe it's not the seltzers right now, but we can develop a following and some type of some an ancillary product that'll get us in the market that we can still believe in and still connect with consumers in a way where it doesn't necessarily have to be our product, but as long as the consumer can get to their experience that they need to or that they like, then that's what we believe in, and that's what I believe in, and I think that's the most important, right? And so like it's been like the northern light of or the guiding light of what I want Juana Mama Delights to be. Is it doesn't necessarily have to be a product that we're producing right now. It, like you said, it's just a lifestyle, you know, believing in that lifestyle and believing that we can help consumers, you know, find that perfect experience.
Absolutely. And that's kind of also what you're doing too, or yep. Am I mistaken in the fact that Juana Mama Delights is also doing some sort of consulting or offering assistance to brands, or am I totally off on that?
No, so we don't work directly with brands currently. It's kind of it works well for us because we can then offer an unbiased opinion to products. And that said, you know, the way we're looking at products that are in the market right now, especially like social equity product, is just try it, you know, give it a chance, a second or even a third try, because a lot of times, you know, consumers will think, oh, they'll try one thing one time and it doesn't work for them, I'm not going to buy it again.
Yeah.
But chances are they, you know, the formulation hasn't gone in there, or they can make a slight tweak. They won't know if you don't tell them. So if you try something, you know, find a way to tell the brand, whether it's on their Instagram, you know, contact them, being email if you could find it on their packaging. You know, it's almost like consumers, I think, can have a big say in how these products kind of work around the industry or work within dispensaries, right? They can evolve.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I feel like that's kind of one of the things where it's – they have a lot of power. Consumers can buy their dollars. They have a lot of power in saying, we like your product. This is this specific product we like a lot. So put more of this out, or put others that are similar to this out.
Yeah.
You know, and so, yeah.
And what advice would you give to those that want to get into the industry, especially now? I mean, things have evolved so much just in the last few years, but it looks like the same thing. You know, it's just evolving. It's just constant change. And for those that are looking at this industry, like, hey, I want to get in. Maybe I was a legacy product, or maybe just this is brand new to me. What advice would you give to breaking into the market in general?
So I grew up playing basketball, right? Pivot. Like when you get stuck, you got to pivot. And if you have a goal in mind and your goal is I want to be in the cannabis space, you got to pivot. And if you get stuck on something, if you find a block or a barrier, find a way to just keep going. Because I think at the end of the day, like, you'll never know if you don't do it. If you don't take that shot, you're never going to know. You might as well just give it your all and just try. If anything, you could literally just say, I tried. This is how far we got. And maybe that'll be enough for somebody to pick it up and go on even further.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, you know, I don't even think that we're in the industry, but we're in the industry, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, without having a product in store, you know, in dispensaries or a plant touching product, you know, am I really in the industry? Some people would say yes, some people would say no, but at the end of the day, I'm still doing it. I'm still here.
Yeah.
Juana Mama Delights is not going anywhere for anytime soon. And so I think at the end of the day, it's just pivot and keep going. You know, just find whether it's an ancillary way, whether it's like the actual product, like, you know, just pivot and keep going.
And for you, it sounds like that pivot was clothing or merch, right? Because you are using the plant.
Yeah. So
I mean, so maybe not, you're not, you know, smoking it or drinking it or eating it, but you're wearing it, right?
Yeah. So like it, regards to like, you know, since we didn't have a plant touching product, I still wanted to have a product that was still an offering that was cannabis.
Right.
And so the first line of our hemp fabric snapbacks is essentially our inaugural product to the merchandise line. So we have some t-shirts coming up, hoodies, but the launch of the hats is what we're focusing on right now. And the idea behind every design that we have for all the merchandise is tailored behind education and harm reduction of the plant. So meaning, you know, It could be, you know, like, for example, our homage snapbacks hat. It's inspired by terpenes and has a terpene right across the front. You know, the first one we're starting with is the limonene terpene design, and that's, you know, by design, it's one of my favorite terpenes. Mm. So it only made sense that I would use that, along with myrcene, cumulene, pinene. And really, there's like an endless amount. There's terpenes we don't even know.
Yeah.
So this can go on forever. But it's more so like, okay, not only is it designed with cannabis compounds on the actual design, but it's literally made with like cannabis product or hemp fabric.
And it is a superior product too, from
I mean,
what I know or understand.
Yeah, they're durable, they're lightweight, you know, they're breathable. I wear a lot of hats, generally speaking. I mean, it would be ideal if this series of hats would end up being like the new era of like cannabis hats or a hat line. But I think just starting is excitement enough for me.
Oh, and it is very exciting. Yeah. I love what you're doing. And so what I guess is the vision as you've evolved and now, you know, you see yourself here. What is the hope and what are you working towards with the brand and even for yourself?
So I'm not trying to get too far ahead of myself. I think taking steps or calculated steps, you know, one being the merchandise line, and then just two, producing campaigns and initiatives that make sense. And so, like, you know, we were talking, you know, one of the things that we're working on is a recipe video line,
yeah.
You know, a channel. We're calling it Hay Mota en la Casa, and it's basically tailored for home growers or for people that have, you know, products that they want to repurpose and use to infuse their own recipes at home. Maybe you have, like, you just tried the Guatemalan tamales, right? Like, what if you had an infused version of that? Like, it's, I think that consumption doesn't necessarily have to always just be a joint. Maybe it can be in a tamale. Maybe it can be in a taco, in a salsa or whatever. And there's plenty of those products in, you know, in the market as well. And so they're not necessarily available at dispensaries, but if you have the means, if you have your medical license and you have your home grow, why not take a stab at making a, you know, an infused pupusa or an infused, mm-hmm. you know, birria.
Yeah.
So
that would be amazing. No, I love it already. And if people want to support, follow, find out more, how can they find you online or on social media?
Yeah. So JuanaMamaDelights.com and on Instagram, JuanaMamaDelights. We'll be launching the hats on our website for sale this weekend.
Oh, nice.
And then, so we're not going to just have the limonene hat on there, but we're also going to have the drop dates for the rest of the terpenes.
Amazing. Yeah. That's amazing. Well, congratulations to you, your wife, to the brand, and excited to see what else, you know, is in store, but also just having you a part of this community.
Sweet. Thank you.